Left off with a cliffhanger last time. We were in the middle of learning this piece in the Sanhedrin Katana, trying to define Grumma as it relates to Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Zayin versus Shabbos Daf Kuf Chaf. Again, just to quickly review where we got up until this point in Sanhedrin Katana, our Gemara gave various cases where killing a person in a somewhat indirect manner, you'd be chayiv because it's not considered indirect enough. It would be still considered direct. And in other cases, where killing somebody in an indirect manner, you'd be pater because it would only be deemed grumma. So the Gemara, for instance, said that if you take a person out in the sun and you let the sun kill him, you tie him up and the sun kills him, so then you're going to be chayiv. Even though the sun is what killed him, but you brought him to the sun and while the sun was already out, so you're going to be chayiv. But if you take him out in the middle of the night before the sun rises, and then the sun rises and the sun kills him, then you're going to be pater, because at the time that you brought him out and tied him up, the killer, the ultimate killer, wasn't there. So that's what our Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Zayin said. So we mentioned the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Chav, where the Gemara said that if you have a Shem Hashem Kasav Al Basaro, you have the Shem Hashem written on your flesh, and you go to do a Tevila. So we had a the Gemara had said that the that Gram Mechika is Mutter. And that would be that would be defined as gram mechika. The only issue would be being naked in front of the Shem Hashem. But in terms of mechika, in terms of erasing the Shem Hashem, it's only gram, and therefore it's mutter. So kasha number one was, wait a second, that which erases the Shem Hashem is the water. All you did is you put the Shem Hashem in the water, and then you allowed the water to do the rest of the job. Why is that only called gram? According to our Gemara, that's called direct action. That which kills the man is the sun. All you did is put him in the sun. The sun did the killing. Our Gemara said, still, direct action. That's called an absolute action of murder, and you're going to be chayv misa for it. So why, when it comes to mechika, is it only called gram mechika? That was kasha number one. Kasha number two, we had the Gemara Masech Sukkah with David HaMelech, where David HaMelech takes the shard with the Shem Hashem on it, and once knows he let it throw it into the Tahom, into the rising waters that threaten to flood the entire world, and it's only because Achitofel came up with the Kal V'chomer that to make Shalom in the entire world, you're allowed to do this, that David HaMelech was allowed to do. So he said, well, wait a second, shouldn't it be Mutter anyway? After all, it's only Gram. It's only Gram Mechika, so it should be no problem to do this. Furthermore, the issue of Gram Mechika is connected by the Gemara itself, Masech Shabbos, to Meleches Shabbos, that the Grama is Mutter by Meleches Shabbos as well. And the question therefore begs itself, what about the Melacha of Bishul, Afia, baking, cooking? After all, when you bake, you take a raw dough, you put it in, you expose it to the heat of the oven, and the heat of the oven is what does the baking, the heat of the oven is what does the cooking. Shouldn't that only be called gram, based on the definition of Shabbos Daf Kuf Chaf? So why is that not just gram mechika? So, I think that's where we left off, right? We left off with all the questions. So the Sanhedrin Ketana quotes a Rashba, that at first seems like he's saying one thing, but the Sanhedrin Ketana can't believe that that's what he actually means, and he therefore reverts to a different explanation of what the Rashba actually means. So first he says that the Rashba says that the situation in the Rashba in Masech Shabbos over there says that the situation what we call going into the water with the Shem Hashem on your body and allowing the water to erase the Shem Hashem, the reason that that's only called Gramma, that's only Gram Mechika, is because it's not certain that the water is going to erase the Shem Hashem. It's not a Pesuk Reishis, it's not definitely going to happen. And since it's not definitely going to happen, that's why it's only Gram Mechika. And that would make sense with all the Gemaras. David HaMelech, when he threw the Shem on the Chaspa into the water, he knew it was going to erase Shem Hashem. That's why it wasn't only a Gramma, and that's why he needed the Kal V'chomer of Achitofel in order to make it Mutter. Our Gemara, where you take the guy out into the sun, you know that he's going to die. It's a Vadai, it's not a Safek. And since you know that he's going to die, so it's not a Gramma, it's direct. When you put raw dough into a hot oven, you know that it's going to bake. It's not only a Gramma, it's considered to be direct, right? That would very simply solve all the problems. However, if you're going to say that you don't know for sure that it's going to happen, then the reason for the heter of going into the water with the Shem Hashem written on your skin has nothing to do with Gramma. Not knowing for sure that it's going to happen, that's not what we call Gramma, that's what we call a davar sheino miskaven. I'm going to the mikveh because I want to go to the mikveh. I'm not going to the mikveh because I want to erase Shem Hashem, right? If the Shem Hashem is not definitely going to be erased, so it's a davar sheino miskaven. Halacha is davar sheino miskaven is mutter unless it is psik reishe. But over here it's not psik reishe. You're not sure. So why would the Gemara have to say, have to come up with a drasha that will sasun kein Hashem elokeichem? Where's the yisur of mechikas Hashem from? Don't do this to Hashem. What does it mean, do this to Hashem? Don't destroy the Shem Hashem. Oh, we see actively destroying Shem Hashem is a problem, but gram of destroying Shem Hashem is mutter. What do I need such a drasha for? This is stam davar sheino miskaven. If the Rashba really means it, that you don't know if it's going to get erased or not, so then it's just a regular davar sheino miskaven. It's not, you don't need any fancy drashas about grama. So for that reason alone, Sanhedrin Ketana says the Rashba can't mean what we think he means. Elamai, what does the Rashba mean? So here's where it gets interesting. It says when the Rashba says you're not sure that it's going to get erased, it doesn't mean that you're not sure that the shame is going to get erased at all. It means you have to go to the mikveh. Let's say going to the mikveh takes 30 seconds. Dipping, coming out, fine. Let's say it takes 30 seconds. You have the Shem Hashem written on your foot. So the entire time you're in the mikveh, it's going to be the Shem Hashem is going to be in the mikveh. What you're not sure about is when you first dip your foot in the mikveh, if that moment, right away, the water is going to erase Shem Hashem. You're not sure that it's going to happen immediately. You know it will happen. By the time you come out of the mikveh, the Shem Hashem will be gone. You just don't know how quickly it's going to happen. So why does that make a difference? So he says like this. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Dafai and Zayinam and Beis, I think we read the Gemara, even though not everyone liked that Gemara, the Gemara says that if you throw somebody into a bar that has a ladder, so he has a way out. So it's just a practical joke. I threw him into the bar, he'll climb out. I didn't kill him, right? I throw him into the bar, and then after I throw him into the bar, I remove the ladder. So now he can't climb out, so he suffocates to death at the bottom of the bar. Mara says, I'm not chayiv misa. Why? Because at the moment I threw him into the bar, I wasn't killing him. And removing a ladder is grama. That's certainly not killing. So I didn't do any misa of killing a person. Now, similarly, the Gemara says, I shoot an arrow at somebody who's holding a shield that could easily block the arrow. And then I yank the shield out of his hand after I shot the arrow. Unless I have a string attached to the shield. So I shoot the arrow and then yank the string and pull the shield out of his hand and the arrow kills him. Gemara says, pater. First, Gemara starts out by saying, I shoot the arrow, someone else pulls the shield away from him, I'm pater. And the other guy's pater. Then the Gemara says, oh, even if I do both, I'm pater. Because either Maisa on its own is not a Maisa Ritzicha. Now, Rashi is quick to point out, throughout the whole sugya of Gram Ritzicha, and Sanhedrin Ayin Zayin, that your pater b'dinei Adam. We do believe in God, and we do believe that our Kodesh Baruch Hu will leave in the score somehow. So b'dinei Shemayim, you're still going to be chayim. You're only going to be pater b'dinei Adam. So it emotionally stresses us that a person should be pater. You have to realize no one ever gets killed in Beis Din anyway. So ultimately, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's taking care of everything. So it's going to be Chayv B'dinei Shemayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of you. But we're trying to figure out what's called a Maisa Ritzicha. So apparently that's not called a Maisa Ritzicha. So similarly over here, says the Rashba, says the Sanhedrin Ketana within the Shita Sarashba, let's say someone shoves you into a mikveh. You have the Shem Hashem written on your foot, someone shoves you in. And then you realize the water's nice and you stay in, or a swimming pool. So you stay in and you just stand there for a while. You're enjoying the water on a hot day. So, and the Shem Hashem gets erased. After you stay in there for a minute, it gets erased. Is anyone chai from Mechikas Hashem? So the guy who shoved you in, definitely not, because he shoved you in, you had the opportunity to come out. And then the Shem would not have been erased, assuming that that's the situation, that it would not be erased right away, right? So you had the opportunity to come out. So he's not going to be chai. Are you chayiv for staying in? Well, you definitely didn't do a maisa if you just stayed in. The guy shoved you in, you just stood there.
Maybe moving is the maisa.
You just stand there. You don't go swimming, you stand there. So you don't do anything. You just stand still. So that's not a maisa. So why should it make a difference? Just like the Gemara says, Nayin Zayin and Beza, it does make a difference if I shoot the arrow and someone else pulls away the shield, or if I do both, shoot the arrow and pull away the shield. Either way, I only did a half maisa. Each time I did two halves of maisa in this situation, two halves do not make a whole. So when I jump into the water with the Shem Hashem, and as long as I don't know that it's going to get erased immediately. If I know that it's going to get erased immediately, then jumping into the water itself is an act of mechikas Hashem. But let's say it might take a minute for it to get erased. So going into the water is not an act of mechikas Hashem, because I could always come out. But if I go into the water and stay, then it is an act of mechikas Hashem. So the fact that the person, and over here the person is the cheftza of the Shem Hashem, because the person has Shem Hashem written on his body. The fact that the cheftza of the Shem Hashem, the object upon which the Isser is going to be done, has the ability to undo the original Maisa, makes it that you're not going to be chayiv for the original Maisa. And if you don't do any further Maisa, you're not going to be chayiv for that either. So if I go into the water, I'm not going to be chayiv for going in, because I had the ability to come out. And if I stay in the water, I'm not going to be chayiv for staying in, because that's not a Maisa at all. So he says, now all the Gemara's fit. Go back to Sukkah, Daf Nun Gimel, David HaMelech, right? David HaMelech throws in the shard to the water. Why would he be chayiv? Why isn't that a grama? Because what defines grama? What defines grama is the ability to undo it. The ability for the, not just to undo it, not just for the person who did it to undo it, the ability for the object itself to see to it that it doesn't happen, to undo what was just done to it. That shard couldn't jump out of the tahom, couldn't jump out of the water when David threw it in. Mimela, it all ties back to the moment that he threw it in. And it's a maisa, it's a real maisa. Take the Gemara, take the malacha of Bishul, or Afia. You put the dough in the oven, the dough can't jump out of the oven. Obviously, you could take it out, but that's a different maisa already. The dough can't jump out of the oven. So when you put the dough in the oven, and it stays in the oven, so it all relates back to your maisa of putting it in the oven. Take the Gemara in Megillah. We discussed, I didn't mention it today, yeah, but we discussed previously, Gemara Megillah Daf Tazayin tells us that if you bury a Sefer Torah, you have to be careful to wrap it in a cheres, to wrap it in a kli, so that the Sefer Torah doesn't get destroyed, the shemos of the Sefer Torah don't get destroyed by the dirt. Isn't that only gram? So no, it's not gram. Why is it not gram? Because the Sefer Torah itself can't jump out of the ground. And that's why you need to protect it, because putting it in the ground is not just gram. Putting it in the wet soil, in the moist soil that's going to ruin it, is real, actual mechikas Hashem. It's not just a gram mechikas Hashem. Yeah?
Two questions. First of all, according to this understanding, why does the Rashi have to say you're not sure if it's going to erase?
Right, so I was thinking about that. What the Rashba should have said is, it's not going to get erased the first minute. I guess what he's saying is, even if you're not sure, even if it might get erased the first minute, it's a bigger chiddush this way, right? Even if it might get erased the first second you go in, but if it might not, that's enough to get you off the hook.
Okay.
Is it the simple reading of the Rashba? No, it's not the simple reading of the Rashba, but the simple reading of the Rashba is a very difficult thing. What's the Rashba? How can we move grama? It's Davar Shein
Miskavi. Why is it grama then? It sounds like it's nothing. You didn't do anything in the first action, you didn't do anything in the second.
Well, that's what grama means, that there's nothing we can call a maisa. You set something into motion where you knew by your participation that Shem Hashem, the result was going to be achieved, but you happened to have done it without a maisa.
So it's like two gramas almost?
Well, I mean, the overall process is a grama, that you saw to it, but to make this process happen, where the Shem Hashem was going to be erased, but you did it in a way, you know, where you were able to escape doing a maisa. Yeah?
On that question, is grama mentioned in any other cases of the bor or anything like that? Did it mention grama or not?
The bor did. Well, that's the assumption of the sugya, I think, that when you're not going to be chayiv, it's because it's only grama. Even though you killed the guy and you knew he was going to die, but you managed to avoid a maisa, so that's called grama.
Yeah, so that's grama. It can't be like the first mitzvah of Shabbos where we're talking about two people doing it together. We call it grama, or we just say
with shneim shasu. No, that we don't call grama,
yeah,
because
no one doing a full maisa.
Yeah, because that right, that no one did a full maisa. But here you are doing together. You're meaning between your two actions, you're making
right.
It all happen. So I think that would probably be called grama. There are those that say that there are many that say that there's no din of grama on Bishul B'Shabbos. Why? Because the whole nature of the malacha is al yidei grama. That's how the malacha is done. So it can't be that there's a heter of grama by Bishul B'Shabbos. Meaning they don't buy what the Sanhedrin Ketana says. That no, this is a maisa because the dough can't jump out of the oven. Right? They don't buy that. They're not into that. They say, no, it's not a maisa, it's grama. You put the dough in the oven, the oven is what cooks the dough, not you. It's only grama. So there must be no heter of grama for Bishul B'Shabbos. Quite a chiddush. But that's what they suggest. People suggest the same thing about tzoveya when it comes to melach of tzoveya. But tzoveya, when you dye something, right? How do you dye something effectively? Oh, we'll see tomorrow. Tomorrow 11:15, the tcheles people. So what they're going to do is they'll take a snail's gland, open it up, and take the dye out of the snail's gland and throw in some other stuff and mix it with water and throw in a chemical that makes it water soluble and something else that removes the impurities, whatever. And then they'll take a piece of white wool and they'll soak it in the solution, right? And then they have to leave it there for several minutes. Right? It's not something they're not doing the mice all the time. They don't have to be mixing it. They just soak it for several minutes. And then the dye becomes absorbed in the actual wool itself. So isn't that just grama? Because you're just putting it in, but then the dye itself is doing the tzviya. So some say, yeah, it's just grama, but there's no dinner, there's no heter of grama by tzviya, because that's the whole nature of the malacha. According to Sanhedrin Ketana, you don't need to say any of that stuff. It's not grama if the object doesn't have the ability to jump out of the solution. It's just not grama. So there are two ways to attack these kinds of malachas. Either that there's just no din of grama, there's no heter of grama, or that, no, that's not the definition of grama. The definition of grama might be something else. But then the Sanhedrin Ketana connects this to a bit of a different sugya, which I think is also a fairly interesting point that he makes. Where is it? On page Reish Laman Al, page 13 in the packets, in the left-hand side of the page, about halfway down the left-hand side of the page, first word in line is D-Day, and we're up to the second word in line, V'chi Ay Gavna. Did you guys get this far? Did you see this part of the Sanhedrin Ketana? Anybody? No? So listen to this. This is probably the most famous Nemuka Yosef in all of Shas. He only wrote in Zikin, so it's a little bit of a... Okay, most famous Nemuka Yosef in all of Zikin. So you may or may not have heard of before, but you will definitely hear of again at some point in your learning lives. V'ki Agavna Kasa Nemuka Yosef Par Ketzar HaRegel. Nemuka Yosef Mesechus Baba Kama has a famous kasha. The Maksha Hasam, the Gemara over there asks, L'man Yom Risho Mishum Chitzo. If you assume Isha Mishum Chitzo, so what does that mean, Isha Mishum Chitzo? So there's a machlokas in the Mesechus Baba Kama. Anyone ever learn Baba Kama here? In Yeshiva? No? Did we do Baba Kama here? I don't think we did Baba Kama here. So the Gemara in Baba Kama has a machlokas. Why is one chayiv when they're a fire that they lit does damage? By what mechanism are they chayiv? Is it considered like Adam Hamazik? Is it the same thing as me doing damage directly with my hands? Is it like Shor Hamazik? That my animal, something I own, happens to run out and do damage? Right? Meaning, is it like I shot a gun? Or is it like my animal went out and did something? So, because the truth lies somewhere in the middle. My fire is not really like a gun or an arrow that I shot, but it's a little less direct than that. But it's a little more direct than just having my animal decide on its own to run out and gore somebody. So it's somewhere in between. So the Gemara is machlokas. Isho mishum chitza or isho mishum mamono. When your fire does damage, do we view it like your arrow that you shot that's doing damage? Or do we view it as mishum mamono, that it's mamona mazik, it's your animal that's going out and doing damage? If it's like your arrow that you shot, So the Gemara, so the Nemuka Yosef asks, Heich sharinon im chashecha lahadlika saneros v'adlaka haleches v'gomeres b'shabbos. That means it's your maisa. So that means as the fire continues to burn things and continues to consume more, it's all your maisa burning things and consuming more. So Fratkin Mukayosev, I don't understand. Every single letter of Shabbos, we light candles. And the fire continues to consume more and more oil or more wax or whatever it is consuming. But if as it's consuming, we view it like Isha Mishum Chitza, that it's my Maisa that's doing all the consuming of that oil, so then I'm being Mechal Shabbos! If you hold Isha Mishum Chitza in the world of Nezikin, why should it be any different in the world of Shabbos? So it should be a Chil Shabbos. It's a famous kasha in Mukhe Yosef. It should be Chil Shabbos when I light candles before Shabbos because it's consuming things on Shabbos. It's as if you yourself lead it on Shabbos. So Kimayinin by Milsa Shapir says in Mukhe Yosef, now when you think about it, lo kashalan, it's not really such a kasha. Why? Sharech yuvo mishum chitzo kizorik hachetz, shebishas sheyotza hachetz mitachas yodo, ba'usa shah, nasa hakol. Let's say you tack a shooting arrow a minute before Shabbos, a second before Shabbos, and then it goes and it kills somebody a second after Shabbos starts. Is it Chol Shabbos? Well, let's say it doesn't kill somebody. We don't want to make you Chayv Misa. It does some sort of Chol Shabbos. It, I don't know, what sort of Chol Shabbos can an arrow do? What? It rips a curtain that belongs to you. Okay. On the, along the seams, or it takes out the stitching. So so you're Mechal Shabbos with the arrow. So is that called Chol Shabbos? You shot it before Shabbos started. So you say, take the arrow case itself. Your Misa, it's your Misa. What is it? Yeah, it's your Maisa, but when was that Maisa done? The Maisa was done a second before Shabbos started. So yeah, it actually did the result when it was Shabbos already, and that result is called being done Al Yidei Mi, but when was it done Al Yidei Mi? It was done on my hands, Al Yadai, before Shabbos. Same with the fire. Yes, whatever the fire consumes, it's as if I'm doing it. It's as if it's my Maisa that's consuming it. But when? It's my Maisa that's consuming it before Shabbos starts. So a woman lights candles out of Shabbos. So when she lights those candles, yes, it's her Maisa that's going to be consuming all that oil on Shabbos, but it all relates back to that first moment when she lit the candles.
Don't, yeah? Don't we hold that if you start something and it carries over, it's like you can continue doing it? Like, let's say, Shalosh Shodas. If you start Shalosh Shodas before, well, this month ends, and then this month ends, you can continue doing it, and it's considered like you're still in the Shabbos. Or let's say Mincha, if you start Chazor Shabbos before this month ends, but this month comes and you can't daven anymore. If you already started, you can continue doing it, even though technically not allowed to.
So you want to say therefore?
So therefore, it should carry over that even though you shot the arrow before Shabbos. The second before Shabbos, if it breaks something on Shabbos, you should still be over Chil Shabbos.
Well, first of all, I think your point would have been the opposite. Meaning, why are you allowed to continue Shalosh Shodas? Because it still counts as Shabbos.
Right.
And also, it's not so posh that we always say that. That once something is started, it all goes bust at the first moment. You have to look at each case individually. By Shalosh Shodas, yeah, because there's a mitzvah to be Mosav Michal Al Kodesh, so that could extend indefinitely. When it comes to Mincha, it's not so pashtun. Not all the poskim accept that. Some do, based on the Tosfos Maseches Brachos, that it all goes bust at the first moment, Brachos of Zayin. But it's not widely accepted by everybody. Anyway, you have to look at each case. So what's the Sanhedrin Ketana getting at over here? V'lo chashvinu le'maisa d'mikanu l'abba. D'chashvinu le'hav le'mifrei d'anosu. Shein b'yad l'achzir. He says, I'll prove to you, says the Mukhe Yosef, that when the candle consumes things on Shabbos, that it's not considered your maisa. Because if that were considered your maisa, you wouldn't be chayiv for it. It would only be a maisa ba'onas. Meaning when your fire goes out and damages, let's say I light a fire, forest fire, burns down the whole forest, burns a lot of other people's stuff. So why my chayiv? You want to call it my maisa, but at the time that it was burning somebody else's stuff a mile away, I couldn't control it anymore. It was raging out of control. It should be complete onus. Why don't I have the heter of onus? Luz, why do you think? Why don't I have the heter of onus? Because when I started the fire, there was no onus. And that's the Maisa. The Maisa is when you started it. It's not while it's continuing. And there was no onus at the time that I started it.
So
So it's not as if I'm lighting it now. It's as if it was lit the entire time.
Because onus doesn't apply?
Yeah, that's
and
a right.
Then it shows that you didn't light it.
It must be that
is not on Shabbos.
Right, that the Maisa was done at the time of the original Maisa. Right, that's where it all connects back to. V'chein adin lein Shabbos, chiyaskum leir of Shabbos, k'ma da'agim rabbi yadayim, but who in the last piece of chashav, ad kan l'shono ha-zohav. That's the Numukei Yosef. It says the Sanhedrin Ketana, chazina, what's the yisod we get from this Numukei Yosef? Deba'osa Maisa bedavar, she'ein yecholos biyad ha-chefetz la-hatzil sa'atzmo me'ha-maisa, kol ma'ashenasa achar kach me'me l'chashav, kilu nasa take of Pesha's Maisa. That when you do an action on something where the object itself can't undo itself, it can't undo the action, then everything that happens to that object, and that object accomplishes, all relates back to your original Maisa. It all goes back to that original moment in time. Is that Grama? No! It's a real Maisa. And that's exactly my point, says the Sanhedrin Ketana. When you throw a shard with the Shem Hashem into water, the shard cannot jump out of the water. So even if though it may take some time, but it all goes back to my original Maisa of throwing it in, and therefore I'm going to be chayiv for erasing the Shem Hashem. But when you put a person in the water that has Shem Hashem on him, since he has the ability to jump out, that's what makes it only a gram. Whenever you set something in motion, it may take... His yesod is a very important yesod, because what he's really trying to say over here is that the world misunderstands grama. A lot of people assume grama means a time delay. But I do something now and it takes time till it actually happens. So that is not true. Any process that cannot reverse itself is not grama.
So then he would hold a kiss in the grower, and that's the guy in the model house and closes the door. Without a candle, he would still be high.
So you putter over there. Why you putter? So the Gemara said because you haven't even begun the process yet. The air is still clear in the house when you locked him up. So it's key. That's the same as bringing him out in the middle of the night.
The process begins once the guy is in there.
So he said no. The process only begins when it's discernible that some sort of process is beginning. When I light a fire, I see the process beginning. The fire begins to consume things. When I throw the Shem Hashem, it already the process is beginning. It's starting to fade away at the actual Shem Hashem when I throw it in the water. It has to be some discernible, yeah, it's a good point you make, but it has to be that it's some discernible process actually beginning. When you close the door in the marble house, in our Gemara, Sanhedrin Ayin Zayin, it is, the Gemara says, it's the air is completely pure and clear and feels great. So that's not called that the process is beginning.
It's not totally on there, it's totally on what's consuming the air. So he's the one the person who's in there is the one who's making the air become bad, and that's eventually going to kill him.
Right, and but the beginning of the process is only once there's some discernible difference in the atmosphere. And at this point, at the beginning at least, when you first put him in there's no discernible difference in the atmosphere, it feels perfectly fine. Right, but whereas if you put a kli over him, where right away he feels the hevel, he feels a thickness of the air, so then it's already a discernible beginning to the process that will kill him. Based on this, he says in Sanhedrin Ketana, next step. The Gemara Masech Shabbos Tav Kuf Mem Vav tells us, what if you have a Sefer Torah that was written by a Min, that was written by an Apikoros? So the Gemara says, Sifrei Minin, you're allowed to burn, even though they have Shemos Hashem in it. Why? Kal v'chomer misota. This was a serious issue. This is a serious issue. You know, there are a lot of conservative shuls that are closing down these days, and they want to get rid of their Sefer Torah. So a lot of people are working to salvage the Sefer Torah. You have to really look carefully who wrote the Sefer Torah. If the Sefer Torah were written by Orthodox Sofrim, it's wonderful. So it's a big mitzvah to salvage the Sefer Torah. If they were written by people who are Apikorsim, we don't know. If they were written Shelo Lishma by people who are Apikorsim, so maybe a mitzvah to sarfa. Mitzvah to actually burn them. I have Shemos Hashem, those Shemos aren't written by Kedusha. It's a fascinating thing. Kavana matters in terms of, it's not just the shame, it's Kavana matters in terms of determining whether that shame has Kedusha. Which is an unbelievable thing. I mean, you think about it, would this only be by the din of burning it, or would it be by the din of standing in front of Arum also? What if someone has Shem Hashem tattooed on them? Right? So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to stand naked in front of the Shem Hashem if it's on your body. But does that count as the Shem Hashem? Most people who get the Shem Hashem tattooed probably aren't doing it L'Shem Shemayim. They're doing it because, you know, Chinese characters and Hebrew characters are the coolest tattoos. Apparently.
So I heard someone was writing Megillas Esther, and he accidentally wrote Yud Kei Vav Kei instead of a different word, and maybe Yihye. So he didn't have Kavanah for it.
Right.
I don't know the details, but he was allowed to erase it.
So next year, Maseches Gittin. There's a major sugya in Gittin. A guy wants to write Yehuda in a place where it's supposed to say Yud Kei Vav Kei. But he thought it was supposed to say Yehuda. So he tried to write Yehuda and he skipped the Dalet. The Gemara discussed such a case. Weird, no? It's supposed to say Hashem's name. He had Kavanah to write Yehuda because he thought it was supposed to say Yehuda. And as he's writing Yehuda, he forgot the Dalet. So what did he have? He had Yud Kei Vav Kei. So you have the Metzius. It's exactly, you know, the Metzius of the Sefer Torah. It's perfect. But no, it's not perfect. Because he didn't have Kavanah with the Shem. Right, so anyway, that's next year's sugya. So anyway, so the Gemara says, how do I know that you're allowed to erase the Shem Hashem? So Kavachomer mi Sota. We learn from a Kavachomer from Sota that you're allowed to erase the Shem Hashem by Sota. So, but wait a second. Shouldn't you be allowed to erase the Shem Hashem, to burn the Shem Hashem, these Sifrei Minim, because it's only Grama? Why is it only Grama? Because you put it in the fire, and the fire slowly will burn it. You're just introducing it to the heat. So he says, no, now I understand very well. That's not just Grama. Why is that not Grama? Because the Sefer Torah can't jump out of the fire. And anytime it can't undo itself, maybe it's not going to be Grama. And then he says, last point he makes, in the last paragraph on page Reish Lamed Beis over there, Lufi Zeh, Ma Shehivya Pischei Tshuva, Simen Reish Ayin Vav, Sifkat Nyutes, B'Shem Ha Binas Adam, Diyitein Gemi Oniyar, Meluchlach Al Hashem, V'Zeh Yegram Mechika. Remember the Shiloh we discussed earlier in the year? I think we discussed it where someone, the teacher, accidentally wrote the Shem Hashem on the blackboard, on the whiteboard. And they're like, oh, what do I do now? So they called Rav Shechter and they asked Shaila, what do we do now? Right? Soloveitchik had a similar Shaila. He made them cut out that piece of the board and bury it. Rav Shechter thought that was not required. He thought that's a terrible waste of school money to do that, and it's not required at all. He could let the guy erase it. Okay, we'll get to a little bit about Gram Achika of the guy, I mean, Lakam and such a thing. But one solution, Gram Achika we know is Mutter. We saw that in the Gemara. So how do you create a situation of Gram Achika? So one solution that the Pesachei Tshuva quotes in the name Binas Adam is put some sort of gemi or niyar, some type of paper or some type of material over the shame, and slowly it will make the shame fade away. It's not like you take an eraser and just erase it right like that. Just put something over it and slowly it will make the shame fade away. That's what it comes from the Binas Adam. Like a piece of cloth, a cotton piece of cloth or something. You put it over the Shem Hashem and slowly the cotton will pick up some of the ink and it will fade. According to what the Sanhedrin Ketana said, it's no good. Why is that no good?
It's not Grama.
Why is it not Grama? Because the cotton can't decide to jump off the board. Right? It has to be something that it could undo itself in order for it to be Grama. Over here, it can't undo itself. It's going to sit on the board the whole time. So he said that would not be a valid solution. So what would be a valid solution? So he gets creative. He says, here's what you do. You tie the cotton to yourself, and the second side of it you attach to the board. So long as it's on the board, you have the ability, it's like it's on your body because it's connected to your body, so it's as if the cotton has become part of your body, just like when you go to the mikvah, the Shem Hashem has become part of your body. So you have the ability, when you attach it to the board, you have the ability to walk away. By standing still, you're just standing still, you're not doing anything. That would be Gram, that would be a case of Grama. Okay. That's his Echitim said of Grama. There's another factor over here, though. When Rav Shechter got the Shaila, his son, Rav Shai Shechter, was very excited by the Shaila, and he wrote it up for the Beis Yitzchak, which is why you use Torah publication that they make every year. So he wrote it up for the Beis Yitzchak, and he sent me the article to look over, if I was interested. I was. And if you look in source number 4, I took a piece of his article right here. Malamiti, first the Shaila, he gives the case. Malamiti nokas yireish shamayim v'chari b'dvar Hashem ha'yikosi p'sukum al adav k'deil l'slamid bos ha'talmidim. He was writing p'sukum on the board to teach the talmidim. L'dav on libo hisiach daito b'ksivas ha'p'sukim v'kasav shem mavaya al adav. And much to his chagrin, he wrote the Shem Hashem on the board. What should you do with that board? It says one of the Shemos. So the full article includes a lot more factors, but I just wanted to focus on the Gram Mechika element of it. So I only took that piece. Next paragraph, quotes Gemara Shabbos, Osim Mechitza Bekelim Rekanum Leim. He quotes our whole Gemara Shabbos. You know, skip that whole paragraph because that's the Gemara. It's the whole Gemara as we know it. And then he says, "Ukeenzem uvur biyuma peiches amar aleph, hareisha yashem kasev al basara, hareze lo yirchatz v'lo yasuch v'lo yamud makom etinofes, nizdavnu lo tefilas mitzvah korich lav gemi v'yor v'tovel, v'yos yamar yor v'tovel kedarkol v'vach lo yishavshev." Can you go to the mikvah with the Shem Hashem written on your skin? Machlokas. Right? So Tosus wonders that the reason the Gemara in Shabbos says you're not allowed to bathe is because you're not allowed to stand Arum, you're not allowed to stand naked in front of the Shem Hashem. But it's not an Isra of Mechika since it's only Gram Mechika. So why does Rashi in Yuma Daf Peches say not to bathe because we're Choshesh Mishum Mechikas Hashem? Right? Rashi says don't go to the bath, don't take a bath when you have the Shem Hashem on you. Mechikas Hashem! The Gemara in Shabbos is explicit. That's only Gram. Gram Mechikas Hashem is Mutter. So says the Nodeb Yehuda, phenomenal Chiddush, not the Nodeb himself, his son wrote many of the tshuvas, particularly Madura Tinyana. Rav Shechter used to remark that Madura Kama is much more fun to read, because that's where Nodeb Yehuda says everything. Madura Tinyana, most of the time he just spends answering the critics to Madura Kama. You know, people would say, I don't like that tshuva, and he'd say, no, I was right about this tshuva, and try to explain himself and defend himself. So Madura Kama is where he writes his real stuff. So a lot of Madura Tinyana was actually written by his son. It says he didn't like, forge his father's signature. It says, mi ben ha-mechaber, go mi ben ha-mechaber. So the ben ha-mechaber writes, the Nadbuda son writes, who apparently was also a very big gadol, that even though Gram Mechika's mutter, lo kashari ella b'makom mitzvah, Gram Mechika's mutter, but only when it's b'makom mitzvah. But for Dvar HaRashus, even Gram Mechika's aser, because it's a bizayon Hashem to do a Gram Mechika. And his raya is from that Rashi that says, don't bathe when you have the Shem Hashem written al basara. It's only Gram Mechika, yeah, but it's not b'makom mitzvah. Tevila shel mitzvah, that's what the Gemara Shabbos was talking about. That's when you're allowed to go in, and you're allowed to bathe. Yeah, so that's the difference between Dvar Rishus and Dvar Mitzvah. So he points out that the Cheshek Shlomo and Yuma, the Chesem Beis, wonders about this. The Pshita Dulkumi Alma Asr Lirchot Velasuch, the Chia Gavno Chashav Kilo Mochik Biyadayim, Velo Kamochik Ali De Grama, Bezes Arsar Kol Reis and Odvidu Medivar Hashayana. He says that no, that's not called a Grama. Going into bathe when it's going to get erased is not called a Grama. Well, what do you mean? What could be the other way to answer based on what we saw in Sanhedrin Katana? When is going into a bath going to not be called Grama? What? Either in Yochalalos, okay, but that's hard to say that's what the Gemara is talking about. The Rashba. You know it's going to be erased right away. So that could be the simpler answer, to steer between the two Gemaras. When are you not allowed to bathe? That's when it's going to get erased right away. When you're yes allowed to bathe, then it's something called Grama. If it's not going to happen right away, then you're still going to have an opportunity to get out before it gets erased. He doesn't point that out. Rashi didn't quote the Sanhedrin Katana. But according to that Sanhedrin Katana, right, that could be a simple teretz. Halachal Maisa, do we pass in Grama Chikas Mutter only Makom Mitzvah? Or Grama Chikas always Mutter? Say, so the Linin Halacha Ba'amdi Bezeh Horali Mori Verabi Agon Ravasher Weiss Shlita. We don't pass like this Nodeb Yehuda. The Ikra La'alacha, the Gram Mechikas Hashem Mutter, Afilu L'Dvar HaRashus. that you're always allowed to do gram mechik, even if it's not makom mitzvah. V'hosval zeh avi mori v'rabi. Rav Shachter added, for this shayla, you don't need the fact. You don't need a heter to say that it's even mutter b'dvar rishus. Why? For this shayla, what was the case? It was a board in school. What do they use that for? To teach Torah, to teach children. That's a makom mitzvah if I ever heard one. So anyway, it's going to be mutter. Fil das machmirin dolut gram mechik al makom mitzvah. Benidon didan makom mitzvah chashiva. It's for the necessity of the Talmud Torah of the children. So that, according to everybody, is going to be mutter. And then he writes in the footnote, look at what Rav Shechter writes in Mipnine Arav, page Reish Mem Ches, Hadvarim Tzorachiyin La'alacha. That's a reference to where the Rav paskin that they have to bury the board. And he said, that's Tzorachiyin La'alacha. Why would the Rav say that? L'chari, you could just do Grab Mechika. Okay, you have to figure out how to do gram mechika. He talks about whether Amir La'akum is gram mechika or not gram mechika. Okay, the next piece I'm going to do is the Temin Alach Shiv today, the next part of the sugya.